since sixth grade, not since the beginning of the school, but since my beginning at the school. And it's been an amazing, like, you know, time, and I loved it. But one of the things that's really saddened me is I've actually seen a lot of OSA students of color, specifically Black students, leave the school because they didn't feel comfortable in such a white space and such a like elite space. And I think the lack of diversity in the teaching is one of the main things that contributes to that. So I think I just want to stress that's the importance of diversity in the teaching and staff department, is like just having that really uncomfortable, making that really uncomfortable space for Black and Brown students and making them want to leave the school. And it's like, if we're not a school, if our mission is to like, you know, help Black, like if our mission is to have a representative school that's like progressive and that like represents students of all colors and like from all different backgrounds, then it just seems like, you know, counterintuitive to like create a space where that's like not like nurtured. So that's kind of all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Maury?
Thanks, Elise. I wanted to just make a suggestion that the Jedi position be almost placed in a receivership relationship where there is co-supervision from a couple board members of color of that position. I feel strongly that the culture of the school right now is one that is going to be a setup for the Jedi position as it's, the school has become even more white. And that I think that person deserves to have some coaching and supervision by a leader of color in the school. And I also would suggest that a board member of color be on the equity task force. And I would also send a lot of suggestions, but have we asked staff of color who they think should go on that task force? I would suggest that the APT, whose top priority has been equity and who is often seen as a pain in the ass at this school, and it's what we do night and day, should have a seat on that task force. I am white, but I am the transgender co-chair with a woman of color. Majority of our seats are people of color, LGBT, parents of queer kids, that we have sweated and we have made unpopular comments and honestly, you know, it hasn't always felt good, but I just want to say that it feels a little like when some of these key questions come up, the APT is not included. So thank you for that consideration.
Kava?
Hey, everyone. I'm wondering if we can unshare the screen. I hate that I can't see everybody, and it's so much nicer when we're having conversations. I don't know if that's possible. Thank you so much. Hi, I just wanted to weigh in. I don't always speak at these, but I did just see that slide related to the equity task force. And I'm just studying that slide because I just did want to make mention of the fact that we did have an equity task force on the board before. We have gone through this action before. We were working in cohorts when I was the DEI coordinator at our school. We did have a small cohort of board members that I worked in collaboration with. Diane Woods was one of them. There were a couple other people on that in collaboration with the ED. And the feedback that I want to give is that and it's also a question, is that I'm unclear on who is driving the work. And because we're in the process of hiring a Jedi coordinator that's new to the school, that obviously is going to have a learning curve in learning our institution, I think we need some clarity on who is setting the vision for the DEI work. And that equity task force is a lot of great voices in the room, but if there's nobody setting that vision, it's gonna be unclear on who is leading that effort. And I'm hearing a lot of folks say that it does need to be a person of color, but I just wanna advocate for that person leading the work, not necessarily being our Jedi coordinator, because they are gonna be acclimating to the school, learning the school, of course, bringing their expertise. And I think they can be one of the top thought partners in that conversation. We have a lot of amazing resources on our board, and I'm happy to hear who, Josefina, it was great to hear you speak and you name some of the people that were part of that committee. We do have people on the board that are familiar with this kind of work, do DEI work, and I would just want to ask for clarity on whether or not the board is helping initiate, envision, and lead that work for that school-driven equity task force, because without that, it's going to feel like a repeat of what I went through, I'm sure what Uma went through, and for us to have a an evolved version of this kind of work, the vision setting can't necessarily rely on the JEDI coordinator. So I just wanted to say that. I'm a little unclear on how that equity task force works in collaboration with the board, but there's a real need for that person. And I would highly recommend Josefina or Dwayne or Wileen, just some of our key board members that have expertise in this field. Thank you.
Karen?
Yes, I want to echo that concern that Kaba just mentioned. My comment was exactly going to be regarding the leadership and who's going to drive the DEI efforts. I would actually recommend that it's somebody outside OSA. I think OSA is in such a tough place at the moment, which has proven to have a little bit of tone deaf leadership. And there has been, this doubt and lack of transparency also as to what the board knows or has to know. And I don't wanna put additional tasks on more people of color on the board, such as Josefina, and that volunteers their time to be in the board and are not getting paid. So with that said, I would really like you to reevaluate the relationship with Candace or any other DEI consultant that may be able to help you drive the efforts for next year, give you a clear, neutral position for your efforts and feedback. And I think that's, I understand that costs money, but please also include parent community for these fundraising efforts, because this is needed. And I do believe that if people raises concerns within the same equity task force, because everyone reports to the principal and the executive director, that there could be an opportunity for fear of retaliation. So I think this is why I wanted to see exactly the scope of work of the DEI consultant, but it was never shared with the community, because this is one of the key points of contacts for the equity task force. We have an equity task force at my own company, and they're the ones leading, for the next 3 years. You know, that's where we receive clear and honest feedback without feeling retaliated against, where we can not only provide information, but they can also tell us where we're leading in a wrongful manner. So consider extending the contract to Candace, or consider looking for another DEI consultant if Candace was not effective. I mean, we don't know. That's something that you as a board need to decide, but it'd probably be useful to have somebody from the outside leading and have as a consultant on the side for both the board and the equity task force, so that we don't overburden other people. Thank you.
Thank you. Emiliano?
I don't want to start this. I think that after coming to a few of these board meetings and just observing the behavior that I've seen, it's quite apparent that the students do not trust you all. You guys sit here and you hold this position of authority where we literally, like I saw Kareem call you guys out because there's this weird system where you elect each other, where you're unclear as to what to do when it comes to equity task forces. I mean, like Manz over here just was like, we would like to support them. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. How can I trust you to support me if you're not telling me what that looks like? I don't need to direct you on how to do that, by the way, because you should know how to do that. You're leading a school as a board member. So I think just all in all, like, but like, we don't trust you right now. And if you want to earn the trust of students, your faculty, and your parents, you need to sit down with them and do the work along them. So when we say support them, get a part of this stuff, get down with the movement, meet your students, meet these affinity groups that are trying to advocate for themselves and better their position, because we don't see that right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dwayne.
I am here, Elise. Can you hear me, Elise?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep.
I'm sorry, you said our transition period or
yep.
You got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. I thought we were going to kind of tee it up. Well, OSA community, I will be filling in. No worries. We have it covered. I'll be filling in for at least for the remainder of the meeting. So first, thank you. Be patient with me and we'll definitely keep things going. And so I believe we are now our executive director report. So Ms. Sherman Cope, can I turn it over to you?
Thank you, Dwayne. Could we bring up the slideshow? Thank you. I want to first begin by just thanking the community. This has been very hard to step into a school and not meet anybody really in person and do everything through such a long reach through Zoom. And had we all been in person and we're beginning to get there, that's where you sit down and you have the conversations and you work together and you bring solutions and you come together as a community. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. Tonight, I had set three different reports for this evening, the executive director's report, the principal report, and the advancement report. Could we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so this evening, I'm going to share with you some updated information on our equity work for this year and for next year. And due to some special grant funding that we very, very recently received, we'll be offering a summer program this year. I'm going to share a little information on an update on offer letters, a very special thank you, and a friendly reminder for a date change for the May's board meeting. Next slide. Tonight, I really wanted to take a moment to update our community on the diversity, equity, and inclusion work that we've committed to this past year. Although I've shared some of this information in prior board meetings, I felt it was important to provide some updates to all of us. There's been a number of meetings held with students and parents and teachers that have focused on equity concerns at OSA. I've had the opportunity to sit and meet with the Board of Students of Color once a month and attended the APT meeting the other night. And I value hearing from our community members when there are concerns. And I also value having the conversations around them so that we can work out a solution. Tonight, I wanted to provide a bit of data that focuses on our equity work. So next slide, please. This is the work this year that we aligned to equity in the budget. And I thought it would be helpful and a little more transparent to see what these items were and then what the cost value was for each. The diversity, equity, and inclusion research position was slated for a $10,000 stipend. Our Step It Up program was $22,000 total. That was lower than it has been in years past because of the COVID-19, because of our pandemic. Excuse me. That paid for the management of Step It Up, which is done with a lot of work through Kev Choice and Jordan and Michaela. And they do a lot of the background, all the backup work for it. And the rest of the money above and beyond the stipends paid to those three were for all the teachers that taught classes for Step It Up. The People's Conservatory, that is led by Roz Nash, and many of our alumni teach for her. And we formed a partnership through the Alliance and with through Kava and through Kev and through the relationship that has grown from the school to them. And so a number of the People Conservatory teachers were teaching our kids in Step It Up. And so that was a lovely alignment. We had about $15,000 additional support for our SPED, especially during this very difficult year. We utilized these funds to really help some additional programming and support for our kids. The $15,000 is from the professional development with Candace. That was the year-long residency. And then, of course, we have a history at OSA that any hungry student, when we were back at school, would always be served lunch, right? And this was still kept alive during this COVID time. We have a number of families that are underserved families, and some of the kids fall under the free and reduced lunch, as well as we had additional families reaching out to us. So about $19,000 was spent on food service, and these were all delivered to the families. And this was staff of ours doing that. I have to give a highlight to Katie Zog, who has hand-delivered a lot of these and textbooks and meals and stuff to the kids. So this is just an explanation of this year, the total bottom line of our expenditures for the DEI work that we did. Okay, before we go to the next slide, sorry, can you go back a second? I do want to say the Office of Advancement has committed about $800,000 for OSA this year to raise $800,000 in addition to the operational costs. And they achieved raising these funds through fundraising endeavors. These were special events, grant writing, the Giving Tuesday, which was the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, where this was a fundraiser that was just focused on equity. And we also really reached out to individual and corporate asks. So I do want to thank the Office of Advancement for that. Next slide. This is a wish list that we have for next year for our DEI work. It's a growing list. We have added the JEDI coordinator and stipend for equity work here. And as you see, we have a total of 151. Next slide. We applied for and received a one-time restricted grant. It was actually a series of grants. This was offered to all schools and we jumped on it very quickly. And this grant will help us focus on learning loss, on closing the achievement gap, on assisting with credit recovery, and it will allow us to provide some additional supports to our underserved students and our special ed population. In addition, we secured some funding for technology and Wi-Fi hotspots, and this has been beneficial to our entire community. Our teachers received extra monitors if they needed it. Our students received additional hotspots. You know, when you have a family of four all on Zoom at the same time, you're needing that additional support. And we've been able to hire 9 cohort leaders to assist our 6th graders as they returned for the last 7 weeks of school. And these cohort leaders are people, 3 of them are alumni from OSA. There is a stipend from this grant too for our faculty for transportation. And we're in the midst of designing a 3-week summer program, which I'll explain a little bit later. Next slide. So this is some planning for next year. Through this one-time grant, we're using some of these funds for the following. We're hiring a full-time mental health counselor. Right now, we had a very, very part-time person, a number of different people coming in. This will be a beautiful addition. And we're developing our technology plan so that every student has a Chromebook. Students that have requested one this year received one, but for next year, through this grant, we're working out a plan to administer a Chromebook to every single student. we'll be hiring 15 paraprofessionals to support students in their classes. And our current pathway coordinator position will now be a full-time position, and this will be funded through a separate grant, not this particular one. But these are all additions that we can put in that will be paid for. Next slide, please. This summer, we are going to have a 3-week summer program from June 7th to the 25th. The purpose of this is for high school for credit recovery and for our middle school students for an enrichment readiness program. And our teachers will be paid a stipend to plan the program the first week of June, and then, of course, paid to be teaching during the summer camp. So if you need any additional information, we have Katie Zog is the point person, and her email is right here at the bottom. Next slide. So this process was a year in the making. We started out wanting to hire a DEI coordinator. This is something that I had a lot of parents reach out to me about, some community members reach out to me about, and we formed a team. Mr. Oz did a tremendous amount of work with this, Ms. Zog, Ms. Joshi, and myself. And Ms. Joshi applied and received the stipend for the DEI researcher. We met weekly throughout the year, and we built a timeline with benchmarks that focused on a research phase. This is where Ms. Joshi reviewed a lot of OSA history, a lot of data. She put a lot of information together. We had conversations, and then she had a lot of conversations to get input from our community members, our students, our parents, and our faculty. As the team reviewed the data, we saw the need for developing the JEDI coordinator role, and the outcome was to put together a description based on the data that we were seeing and the conversations that were had, and also to put together the roles and responsibilities. We identified a task force that was made up of a number of different people. You just saw that on the slide before when the board was talking. The idea here is this is something for all of us to be reviewing and looking at. We do want a student on here. We do want a parent on here. This was to get different representation from our community to be on this. The data really shows that organizations that hire a DEI coordinator, whether they're schools or businesses, if they don't provide the support for this position, it doesn't do well. So this is a special position that needs an infrastructure of support. And we felt that by building a task force where we were bringing all different members of the community together, that would really help align and help with the support. On March 5th, we posted the position. We brought together a wonderful group of OSA people to be part of the interview. There were 11 people: Mike Oz, Katie Zog, Uma Joshi, Pablo Christie, Anna DeRoos, Sarah Ordaz, Jada White, and Renee Jones, who were students, Joelle, who is a parent, and myself. We're all in the first round, and everybody plus Kev joined us for the second round. We had 27 applicants. We narrowed them down to 8, 2 first round interviews. We narrowed them down to top 3 candidates, and we had a final, very comprehensive interview. The candidates were all strong, and the panel as a team decided on one candidate for the position. So we're waiting to hear whether they accepted the position or not. Next slide. Next week, we're having a wonderful spring fundraiser. I want to share with you that we are shy of $47,000 of hitting our mark of $800,000. And I would like to invite all of you to attend. I hope we can drop something into the chat as an invitation. Please register for the event. It's a fundraiser for the school, and we hope to see you all there. There's a silent auction that is running now. Elise mentioned that she was bidding on some things. I was eyeballing some too, but you can check it out and bid on some great items. Next slide. So once we raise the $47,000 needed to fill the financial deficit for this year, the additional monies raised will support the school's investment in equity strategies. Next slide. This is a slide that I had a few months ago at the board meeting. I wanted to bring it back because there's lots of conversations about recruitment. A lot was said tonight about recruiting teachers of color, making sure that we are retaining our teachers. This is a huge, huge concern. And so one of the pieces is building relationships. And this is where I'd love to get feedback from our community with regards to connections that they have above and beyond what's on this screen. So reaching out to local colleges and universities, community organizations, reaching out to our alumni, that's one thing. The pieces below here is where we have been posting positions. EdJoin is the big website that most people go to apply for teaching positions, educational jobs. The Art Schools Network is a national organization that OSA belongs to, and they have a job bank on there. So artists, teachers, educators from around the country can see that. We have ZipRecruiter, which we've been using for a while, the National Science Teaching Association we have used for the past 3 years. There were two job fairs that Lori Cheatham, who is the director of our operations, and she helps with the recruiting piece. And so she attended two job fairs with some students, joined her. LinkedIn, we have been able to utilize, and some social media sites to kind of just share the message. So we would love to hear from you if you have any feedback on additional organizations or places that we can reach out to. Next slide. Although we're in the middle of bargaining with COSATs and our, you know, full document has not been finalized, we did send out offer letters yesterday to our entire staff. And we did have an opportunity to talk to COSATs about what the offer would be, a 3% raise on top of their step. And this was in good faith that as we are bargaining and we come to an agreement for that, then we will be in a different place. The next slide. This we just put in as a charming photo. On the left is the very first day of school when our sixth graders stepped in about a week ago. I felt like I was in sixth grade. It was my first time joining the school on the first day of school in April. And I was able to, with the team, say hello and welcome everybody. Mr. Oz, our principal, is holding balloons. Mr. Roos went and bought balloons and had them sprinkled around the school. And I thought it would be nice for a senior parent to just share a few words with regards to the other two pictures.
And I think that's me. Hi, everybody. Apologies, I'm calling in from a hotel room. So as a senior parent, as a parent of a kid who's been at OSA since sixth grade, I just wanted to share a couple of pictures with you. We went and picked up caps and gowns, all of the senior parents, over the past week. And it was just so wonderful to see this really active committee of senior parents, about 30 to 35 on this group, working to put together the caps and gowns. And alumni, you might look at the stoles and notice that we, the parents negotiated to get the art emphasis embroidered on the stoles, which is kind of new from years past. And we've had a parent that handmade all of these beautiful COVID masks for the kids to wear because they are going to have an in-person graduation ceremony, it looks like, on May 28th. So when we went to go pick up our caps and gowns for the students, the parents were outside, they'd set up a little table, and you see the sidewalk that they decorated. So not only just like an X for everyone to socially distance, but they put all these just sweet little messages for the graduating seniors, like good job and go see the world and we love you. And it was just really sweet. And I know for a fact that more than one student got pretty emotional at the time of going there to pick this up. So I just wanted to share that with everybody. And thank you to the parents and Ms. Snyder for putting this together.
Thank you, Mama. Next slide, please. We would like to extend a sincere thank you and bon voyage to two wonderful faculty members who have shared publicly that they are leaving OSA. Ms. Joshi has been a teacher at OSA for 3 years, and she's taught social science classes and a wonderful ethnic studies course. She's loved by her students and her colleagues, and we will certainly miss her and wish her the best. Ms. Julie Humphrey, who has been at OSA for, I'm not sure if it's 14 or 15 years, a science teacher, has a long legacy at the school, and she's also been the WASC coordinator and has shepherded the school through this entire process this year. So I just want to say, just in this moment, even though we have school left and they're not leaving quite yet, just a huge thank you to both of them. And we have a lovely parent hospitality group run by Lola Hanicek. And this group is preparing wonderful gifts in honor and respect of all of our teachers as a thank you for the closure of the end of the school year. So thank you so much, parents. Next slide. This is just a friendly reminder that we would like, in honor of our teachers, to be able to, and our staff to be able to change May's board meeting date from Thursday to Tuesday. Thursday is like the last night right before graduation when everyone's working around the clock. So that is a request to change it to Tuesday, May 25th. Next slide. And that's the end of my report.
All right, perfect. So, for community, for those that want to get in line for public comment, please just start to put in the chat, and Romy or myself will just call you. And again, just a reminder, please keep it to 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. I see Karen Morfin first for public comment.
Yes, I look at the budget and the first thing that came to my mind is, I understand there is a stipend for a lot of these positions, but the stipend does not nearly come close to the amount of hours these people are actually putting into the work. So I think as a board, I would really highly recommend you to, again, do an accountability report with how many hours are actually estimated, the cost of labor that would be equivalent to these positions, and then compare it to what is budgeted and then projected to the future. I also wanna say that I wanna ask, if we're in a $45,000 deficit, are we counting the PPP forgiveness? Because the numbers do not add up. The last report also recorded a deficit and did not include the PPP loans, which are over $1 million. I wanna know, has this been recorded in their budget? And if not, when is it gonna be recorded, and when are we gonna have updated information? Lastly, I truly appreciate the person who reached out to me via text. I want to disclaim, I am a CPA. I know how to review budgets. I don't need a one-on-one on how to read a budget. And I want to have these discussions regarding budgets in a public setting where all the community can listen to the numbers and speak in and respond to questions from the board. I say this not to put anybody on the spot. There was a person reaching to me via text, and I would leave for the board to investigate who it is. But this is the second time that it has happened. I am tired of microaggressions as a person of color. I understand what are my duties and rights and my limitations as a parent. And I would, again, I understand that it may have not been with malicious intentions, but this is why we need diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging training at top administration and for all the teachers to really understand how a microaggression can be felt at all levels of the organization. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have Ty.
Hi, okay, ignore how my background is weird. I'm from the baseball. Okay, first, I just want to elevate like pretty much all the demands that we said tonight. Yes, reiterating all of that, whatever. Okay, and then I actually wanted to look at some of the language in the WASC from 2015 and point out some important stuff. So, okay, this is a quote, but according to the 2015 WASC recommendations, OSA needed to, one, review our compensation systems with the goal of increasing teacher compensation whenever possible. Two, implement a transparent RED or repeatable, explainable, defendable salary structure that formalizes the salary structure of the school. Three, maintain intentional focus on building and cultivating diversity and inclusivity at all levels of staff and faculty. Four, improve retention of high performing teachers through professional development and support and recognition. So there's definitely more in the WASC, but like, I guess just to state the obvious, like, almost none of that has happened in the 6 years that it was supposed to, at least not like substantially where we've seen like really great change. I've been here for 6 years and like, you know, we also know that like paying teachers costs money. And Kareem said beautifully earlier about how the board has known for 5 to 6 years that we urgently needed to fundraise when Derry Brown stepped down. And like, I'd even like to add that I've known that for 5 to 6 years. Like it wasn't a secret at all that we needed to raise money. Everybody's been saying this for years, so much so that I was aware of that deadline when I was 11. So like, yes to the demand that somebody said earlier that I think the board and the ED and the administration, whatever, needs a full audit so that there can be like some accountability and stuff like that. Just what people saying, I don't understand money, but yep. Okay, and then on that part about accountability, this is like slightly rude, but I'm gonna try to be nice also. Okay, I've heard a lot of people who run the school, board, administration, whatever, saying like, you know, we've done so much this year, like we've worked so hard, it's been so hard, whatever, like yes, very yes, good job, thank you. And I also know that it probably feels like we make it harder when we come in here like once a month for the past like 2 years and just do what we do when we come here, but I actually feel like we make it easier. Like we're telling you exactly what the community wants and needs when a lot of the time you haven't been able to identify it yourself. And I know that the job is hard because being a school administrator or a board member and dealing with white supremacy is hard, but Ms. Joshi's job was hard and she wasn't getting paid $100K a year to do it. And she's leaving now because y'all didn't make it any easier. So you just have to do it. Or also, you also don't. And in fact, I would probably rather that a highly qualified, highly supported person of color with a huge budget and like 10 other people of color alongside them does the equity work. But that doesn't seem to be happening either. I don't know. We'll see. Like we say it's going to happen, but I haven't seen the proof. All of these things is very much like, this is just like a suggested plan. Like a maybe, like, I don't know. We'll think about it. Like, so do it. And then, yeah. Okay. So I guess, okay. Yeah. Just elevating every demand that everyone's been saying. This is so jumbled. Sorry, but full decision-making power and a fat budget for the gender coordinator and task force. Stop like tokenizing the very few people of color that are in at OSA, pay the teachers. We love you, we love OSA, and we need to do better. It's not a student's job. Like I shouldn't have to come on here every month and repeat myself. I know like we're all so sick of this same conversation. I'm so sick of this conversation. And we've been having it since I was 11 years old and before that, and I'm 17. So, and I'll like probably come back next month and I'll probably come back the month after that. And then I'll probably keep doing it until I graduate. And then I'll probably have to come back as an alumni. So just like do it. And then we don't have to do this anymore. Okay, yeah.
All right, thank you, Ty. Next up we have Messiah.
Hi everyone, my name is Messiah. I graduated in 2012 and I'm alumni. And so I just came back to watch a couple of these meetings. And what I've seen here is just super sad. It's crazy that 1% of the school budget was set aside for equity work and the numbers weren't presented as a reflection of the entire budget, which is insane. And it's crazy that just shows that Ms. Joshi and the other teachers of color who are doing the equity work aren't being compensated accurately. And then presenting this Jedi coordinator like they're going to come in and save the school and do all the equity work is putting a lot of pressure on one person to come in and change structural things that are wrong with the school right now. So honestly, it just makes me sad I mean, I love the school, and I hate that the students here aren't going to get the experience that I have of a community that was safe and inclusive and reflective of the student body. And it's insane that the teachers are just not being compensated a living wage. I think the board needs to be held accountable. And I agree with the Board of Students of Color who say that it's time for a democratically elected board, because this just isn't working, it's clear. So that's just what I want to say, thanks.
All right, thank you. And next we have Corrine.
I just wanted to give also perspective of what students are learning as artists, because this is Oakland School for the Arts. And when I come in each year, and the message that I'm getting is that I can't be an artist anymore in Oakland. I can't be an arts teacher in Oakland, because if I'm going to be an arts teacher, I'm gonna be constantly frustrated. I'm gonna be living paycheck to paycheck. I'm not gonna have my own home. And God forbid I'm black and brown, because I'm gonna have to solve the world's equity issues all by myself. And that doesn't make any sense when this is Oakland School for the Arts. Since I was in sixth grade, it's always like, why aren't we Oakland School of the Arts? And you always get the same scoop of, you know, because OSA is for the arts and it's for the artists. But that has been the biggest lie I've ever heard in my entire tenure at OSA, because the OSA as a school hasn't been for the arts, but the teachers have. And what I'm learning from my teachers is that you can fight this and you can do it, but from you guys, I'm not learning anything. So I need a change so I can learn. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Ms. Mindy.
Hey, everyone. I have a couple of questions, and I wish this was conversational, but I know that's not the format for this. I just want to first appreciate it was really good to be able to see the line items for the diversity efforts, just to see like what do we put into Step It Up this year? What do we put into the DEI research position? Just really seeing it line item like that is really helpful. Where I did get confused is when I think the next slide said wish list, and under the wish list, it said the Jedi position. And so I would just love some clarity on what the line items are for this year, because that slide went so quickly, I didn't get to see all of it. And I didn't understand why it was under a wish list, because the way I interpreted wish list meant that it's not concrete. We're like hoping for this. And I didn't see what the other sub bullets were. So wish list to me sounds like it hasn't yet been secured. And that is just a question I have, is has it been secured? Do we actually have a concrete budget specifically for equity? And then the other question I had was, I think one of the future slides said that we have a $47,000 deficit before we reach the 800K. And then at the point where we make up that deficit, then we can begin investing in the equity work. I don't know if I misheard that or I didn't understand that, but that then also seemed like then the equity work is going to be prioritized. So I just have some questions about what the specific line items are for the DEI work, what's been allotted for Jedi coordinator, what's been allotted for Step It Up, what's been allotted for staff professional development, if there are some administrative professional development equity workshops happening, what has been allotted for that, and where are the places where we're calling it wish list, and where are the places where it's concretely been budgeted? That I'm still unclear on, and I actually think that would really alleviate some of the tension that we're feeling and hearing in the room where folks are saying what is being done. Us being able to see that specifically will really help alleviate, I think, a lot of those concerns. So I think it might just be a language thing, or maybe I didn't fully understand the slides. I would love to be able to see them again, just because they went so quickly. But I wanted to lift that up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Kev Choice.
Yeah, thank you for taking my comment. First, just want to acknowledge all of the amazing students who've been so inspiring with their words and speaking out tonight. And I would actually just request of the board to really just respond to the questions and the comments that have been brought up at this meeting tonight. I feel like if we're really going to be building a community of trust and transparency, and people are, asking very valid questions, you should respond to those questions in some form or fashion, to some capacity, at least address some of the words and some of the statements and suggestions that the students have brought up. Number two, I did see that slide, and it stated 100,000 for the new Jedi position, which, honestly, it's a lot of money for sure. And the person who's coming in, if they're going to be on admin, is going to need a lot of financial support. But I also just wanted to offer, has there ever been any, you know, attempt to even offer Ms. Josie maybe some of that money to actually stay and be a part of OSA's community still, even as a consultant. I feel like with all of the love and admiration and just how much heartbreak I've seen at this school in these last couple of days, has there been any effort to keep her in any capacity, or even just ask, even if it's not possible, has it been made an effort to keep her with some of that money that has been found for that JEDI position, especially since she like established that position, she created that, you know, task force, all of those things. Has there been any efforts to even just see if there was a possibility to even maybe just keep her on as a consultant or as an honorary member of that task force? Other thing about that task force, yeah, I think we need to meet immediately, like the people who are at OSA, who are a part of that list, Step It Up coordinator, pathway coordinator, student representative. We need to elect those people immediately and really start getting into this work. If we're waiting for the JEDI position to be hired, I can understand that, but I really feel like we need to have something set in stone and foundationally ready before that person arrives, so they're not just walking in blindly to this situation and not knowing that this support group is already established. So I would like to just get to that immediately. Like also bringing in an alumni on that task force, I suggest as well. Another thing I thought about, as far as Step It Up, yeah, just I keep seeing these numbers around Step It Up and budget, and you know, this is just a conversation I should probably have with admin, but just keep me in the loop. Like I'm seeing things about budgets, I'm seeing things about, you know, funding coming in, and I'm not really being made aware of it. Like I feel like if any money come in about Step It Up, if I'm gonna be made to efficiently run this program as a coordinator, like I should know about all of these things so I can officially plan and strategize for how we're going to move into the next year. We're already going to start, you know, recruiting way earlier than we ever had. We're already working on that. We want to do a community forum. And yeah, so just let me know anything about Step It Up so I can effectively lead that program. And anything about this summer program, because I also feel like if our teachers are going to be involved, we need to know this. And I'm also just going to offer, like, our teachers are really burnt out. We've been really working so hard this year. Like, do we want to work over the summer? And maybe we could possibly look into some partnerships with community organizations like TPC, OPC, O-Town Jazz Workshop to help supplement some of the teaching responsibilities. Because I don't know any teacher that wants to work, you know, more over the summer after what we've just gone through. Or just bringing in some community support could help strengthen that summer program. So please let the teachers know about this, because this is really the first that I really heard that that's a solid thing that we're going to move forward with. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Choice. Next, we have Simon.
Hello, can you all hear me?
Yep, we can.
Thank you. I just first want to ask, echoing Ms. Menzies' concern about the OSA wish list, is there a way right now we can go back into the presentation and look at that OSA wish list as a community for like a minute or so?
I've got a question about that once we get to the board comments, Simon, if it's okay, and we can, I can commit that I'm gonna wanna see it in a few minutes.
Okay.
I don't know how much more public comment we have, so I hope there's not a long delay between me saying that and it happening.
Okay, as long as you've committed to that, that's great. Thank you. Okay, so I may get emotional during this. Sorry, there's also a washing machine in the background, but here we go. So I've been at OSA for 6 years, and you know, it has not been easy. Like, I have grown up with a lot of these people. I've known like a lot of these teachers, and to have them like slip away is really, really hard. It is like a loss that I feel like right here. And I know that everyone else feels that. The issue is at OSA, but because it's a larger issue, I feel like we as the community can talk about this and really like make it happen, and like make new actions and reforms happen. You know, that would be really important. when I heard Miss Joshi was leaving, Miss Joshi is like one of my favorite teachers ever. She is half Indian, I'm half Indian. And to see like a really powerful Indian person being my teacher was just like amazing. And I love taking her class. And that's why it really hit me when I heard that she was leaving, because I wish I had gotten to know more about my culture through ethnic studies at her, in her class. So, and that's why I, in kind of in collaboration with Board of Students of Color, I planned this action that happened today, where when students were to show up to their classes, they were either to change their names or show the like virtual background with the design that was designed by Nayara Thompson. So thank you for that. And it was really powerful to see how many students showed up. There were, I tallied, there were about like 130 students who showed that participation. And, you know, I was very excited about that. I was posting all the screenshots and sending emails of the screenshots, CCing admin to let them know like who is showing up. And then I don't know if this was like a tech issue or something, but because I was able to email grade level emails or my grade level email, and then I was sending one and then it said, you no longer have access to this email. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, I've been able to send all these emails. Like, is it just because I'm spamming it? And I don't really know, but it said you may have been removed because an administrator removed you from this group. So I think that speaks volumes to if an administrator had taken me off of that email group, you know, that really speaks volumes to, you know, a lot. And just, I would like to end my comment by asking a few specific things. That when are we going to have the interview for the ethnic studies teacher, and how many students are going to be involved in that? I would love that. Is the JEDI coordinator going to get their own budget? I would really love to know the answer to that. And then lastly, is this board of directors able to become a fundraising board? Because, you know, I have heard a lot of the issues of, oh, we don't have enough money. Well, you know, I think it's really time that we implement these actions. And so, yeah, that's the end of my comment.
All right, no, thank you, Simon, for that. So we have Maury, and then we will transition to board comments. Maury?
Hey, I just really quick wanted to kind of follow up on Kava's comment that I too felt the slides, Lisa's slides were super specific and helpful, but they went too quick. So I'm wondering if they could be posted somewhere as a follow-up for folks who attended. Thank you.
All right. We're not now moving to board comment, and Mike Barr, you're first up, sir.
I would like to politely request that the what's titled the wish list slide be presented again, if we can do that, David. And I want to clarify, I want to make sure my understanding of a couple things is correct, Lisa. Number one, when you speak about a $47,000 deficit, you don't mean that our expenses exceed our revenue for this year. You mean we have $47,000 left on our fundraising target for this year, which is $800,000.
That's right. Great. We are good with our school budget.
Great.
And I'm sorry if that was not clear.
Yeah, no, so, I just want to make sure I understood it correctly. Yeah. And then just
For the community, though, the Office of Advancement had made a promise of $800,000 to raise. They're very close to it. We're just $47,000 shy. But that was that piece. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. And then a question came up a while ago around wish list. The reason this is not labeled official yet is because the board has not approved a budget. The board will not approve a budget until our June meeting. There are a number of moving parts to this budget. I will speak not on behalf of the entire finance committee, nor will I speak on behalf of the full board, but I will speak on myself as chair of the finance committee. I will not approve a budget that does not include these items at a minimum for the diversity and equity work we need to do next year. I have a couple other just quick questions relative to a couple of things you mentioned, Lisa. One is you mentioned that we've made an offer. Congratulations on the Jedi coordinator. We won't get into HR things here, but I know we've got an offer out. Was it down to two or three good candidates at the end, and we chose the one we liked best? Do we have I hope we don't have to start over if candidate number one doesn't accept. Do we have candidates number two and three are strong, I hope?
Yeah, we had very strong candidates, and we really had